B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, it's Friday. Oh, it is definitely Friday. Beetle and Hardy here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah, I just remembered something.
Hardy just remembered something. That remembering of something would be that he's doing the headlines today, too.
I think.
You mentioned that, I think, in passing yesterday. So Mike O'Brien will not be here today.
No, I think it's just me and you, pal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just us. Pal.
Yeah.
Me and you, pal.
Is this your coffee? Cam can do one.
Is this your coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take that. I gotta put this.
Is that a blueberry?
Always.
It smells like blueberry. Yeah. It has a scent.
An aroma.
An aroma, yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Strong.
Yeah.
This might be the most dead period of the sports calendar in the entire year.
Oh, no.
No, there's, I think it is.
There's no might about it. This is it.
This is it.
Every single year, this is it.
This is the week.
Yes.
This is the worst week of the sports calendar in the entire year.
We know this.
We've been over it.
Yes.
That's why a lot of times we choose not to work this week. And this week, and this year, a lot of us did. Most of us are here this week. By chance.
Fred and Rich here for the most part all week. Felger, Maz, up until yesterday, they were both here. Maz still might be. But yeah, we're all working.
Maz is off today.
Okay, so that's all done.
Yeah, he had enough. He tapped out after yesterday. But I have a baseball take to start today, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Nothing to do about what's really going on with today's games or this weekend's games or the All-Star game, but about what a former major leaguer had to say. And it's a former major leaguer by the name of David Segee. Do you remember David Segee?
I do not, and I know what you're going to talk about. I do not remember him as a
okay.
player.
Okay, well, it's funny because I saw, we use Slack for our pre-show chain of events, and when I saw the alert come up with the name David Segee, I immediately thought of David Segee as a Baltimore Oriole for some reason. I remember him most as a Baltimore Oriole. And I asked Jim, and he said he remembers him most as a Boston Red Sox player. And I'm like, what?
What?
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, he did. He played. How long was he here for? He couldn't have been here for long.
Tom said never.
Really?
Am I misremembering that?
And so I'm now, like, remembering it because you remembered it, and I'm remembering it wrong? He was never here then. He was never here. So you convinced me he was here, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I could buy that, and we were both wrong on this.
Well, at least we caught it early this time.
God.
We didn't talk about him as a former.
I don't see it anywhere. He played for a million different teams.
Okay. Not the point, though.
Anyway.
It's what he had to say.
I'm like, oh, okay, Boston Red Sox, sure, I could buy that. I remember him most as a Baltimore Oriole, but he played for how many different teams? 8 different teams in his career? Anyway, irrelevant to the conversation. He played in Montreal as well. This is what he had to say. Former Major League outfielder David Segee believes the juice is worth the squeeze when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs. And he doesn't think PED use is a simple matter of right or wrong. He spoke to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, and he is now openly pushing for PED use in baseball. What do you think of that? Just on the surface.
Well, you know, I think it's not real practical, but when he starts talking about it, And I lean more his way in terms of his thinking. But the more he talks about it, the more rational he makes it sound. And the problem for me with PEDs has always been drawing the line between what is performance enhancing and what is just a drug. Like, don't all drugs enhance something or fix something? Or, I mean, ibuprofen is an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
How is that not considered some form of a performance enhancer if it allows your aches and pains to subside quicker so that you can go out and play again? I mean, where do you draw the line with this stuff?
How about this line?
So for him and the things that he has to say in here, I agree with it more than I disagree.
He says, quote, "You can smoke weed, crack, or shoot heroin, and we'll protect that guy and his right to privacy," Segui said, mm-hmm. in baseball. "But God forbid you take something to heal or benefit your body and become a better athlete or player. Then they portray you as taking an evil substance. I should have put myself in therapy and told baseball I have a disease. My disease is that I'm addicted to steroids. Then I could have had a press conference and cried, and they could have had a GoFundMe for Pitiful David. I don't smoke weed, smoke crack, shoot up heroin, or take any of the street drugs, but because I use steroids, I'm demonized. In 2006, Segui admitted to using human growth hormone with a prescription and said before the release of the Mitchell Report in 2007 that he had experimented with anabolic steroids. Segui doesn't fault players for still using PEDs, taking the chance that they won't get caught. He said there's too much money to be made in the game today, and if you're caught, you'll lose a half a season of pay, but no more. He says people talk about morality. Well, when has morality been a part of professional sports? When has morality been a part of baseball? Find me the era. This doesn't take away from the game. Tell me one sport that's clean. Do I think we have a responsibility to be good humans and citizens? Absolutely. But when I die and they say at the pearly gates that the worst thing I did was take medicine to be stronger and faster and be a better ball player, I like my chances. David Segui on steroids in baseball. I have long said that baseball's best era in my lifetime was the steroid era. It was fabulous. Do you know what's started to get me to rethink my stance on this? The fact that they are going to hit a million home runs this year and it doesn't mean anything. Maybe it wasn't just the home runs in the 90s. Maybe it was more than just the home runs. The way they were playing the game in the 90s was different than the way they're playing it now. It wasn't just the home runs.
So what is it that is
because
getting you to change your mind,
hitting,
though?
Because we sort of remember the home runs as the marquee part of
that's,
the 90s?
That's the poster child of the
steroid era. The home runs, right?
Right.
It wasn't just the home runs. And it wasn't just the steroids. I think we've got to rethink what it was about that time. It was the way the game was being played. It was played in a shorter fashion. There was constant action. There were things happening in the game. The approach was differently, both from pitchers and batters. And there were personalities in the game that we all sort of gravitated to. And so, was it the home runs? No, because we've got a steady diet of home runs right now. We've got more home runs now than we've ever had before. And we don't love it the way we did then.
But that's the difference. Across the board, everyone's got higher home run totals, it seems like.
Yeah.
Whereas during the steroid era, not everybody was juicing to the extent of McGuire and Sosa and Bonds. So you had fewer guys performing at an unbelievable pace, and they stood out. Nothing stands out now.
So you're saying I need a half a dozen or 10 guys who are going to hit 50 or 60 home runs for me to feel differently about it.
There you go.
So I need that group of 12 guys to stand out among the pack to hit an exorbitant amount of home runs to feel differently about it.
And I don't know that you're going to get that because of the way the game is being played a little bit differently now and that everybody is swinging for the fences and nobody wants to do anything, it seems like, other than hit a home run or strike out. And that was not the way the game was being played in the quote-unquote golden age of steroids. There were still plenty of guys just trying to get on base. There were a lot of hitting for average guys, and they further differentiated and helped to differentiate the steroid home run guys. That's what, you know, that's what you remember. You remember a handful of guys from that era and what they did and how they just blew past any expectations.
I don't know. I remember more than a handful of guys from that era. I mean, way more than a handful of guys.
Well, who were the guys that you remember as, like, the steroid guys?
Oh, the cartoon characters.
Right.
The guys who, if you're naming the steroid
users.
Yeah,
I mean, Canseco, and you can, yeah, you can name 10 or 12.
But I can tell you
really
that if all of a sudden, like, Jock Peterson wants to hit 55 home runs or 60 home runs, I don't give a damn. He doesn't interest me. And so I think there is something else beyond just the steroids. I don't know that home runs and steroids can fix baseball this time around. And so I think it goes beyond those two things. You know, I don't know that fixing baseball is as simple as bring back the steroids anymore. I'm all for, I've always been all for the steroids in all sports. I have. But I just don't know if it's going to be a good enough fix anymore. I don't know if it's going to be enough to make it work.
Part of the problem is 90% of these players are like robots. It's like golf. It's like guys that have been doing this since they were 6 years old. Repetition. They're machines. And there's no personality. You need some personality. There's nobody with Omar Vizquel had some flair. He didn't hit home runs. You wanted to see him make a couple plays in the field, though. It wasn't just the home runs. It was guys like Pedro Martinez who had balls on the mound. Schilling had balls on the mound, and even before he got the Red Sox in the 90s. Guys like that you could just watch and have a good time. It's not just the home runs all the time.
No, it's more than the home runs, and I think Beetle, you're on to something in terms of the way the game is being played. I think we're just coming at it from two different angles. I say the way the game is being played right now already lends itself to a lot of home runs, and it's less special. You know, we're talking about 10 or 12 guys that you would, you know, prop up there as, you know, the big home run hitters from the era. Hell, we can name 10 or 12 guys right now between the two teams that are playing tonight, between the Sox and the Dodgers, that are hitting more home runs than they have in seasons past. And for that reason, it doesn't mean as much.
We have figured out what the connection is for David Segui to the Red Sox, by the way. Do you know what it is?
6 degrees of David there is,
Segui. Don't say his father, because I'm not confusing them. I thought David Segui played for the Red Sox. I'm not old enough to see Diego Segui play for the Red Sox.
Okay, all right. There is a David Segui connection to the Red Sox.
I thought that he was traded here. I don't know, for sure.
He wasn't. He played here quite a bit. He played plenty of games at Fenway Park. His dad played for the Red Sox.
Oh, maybe he was rumored to be traded here? I don't know.
Maybe
there's something going on.
617-779-0985. Are steroids enough to fix baseball? I'm starting to think they're not.
There's other stuff.
They can feed these guys all kinds of steroids. They start hitting a million home runs.
But there's other
stuff. I don't
know
that it's bringing everybody back to the game.
Other stuff that he said, too, that I want to get into, because he made some interesting comments.
Yeah, we'll get to some other quotes from David Segui, former major league player. You probably remember him from his time in Baltimore or Montreal or Seattle or the New York Mets or the Texas Rangers or the Cleveland Indians or the Toronto Blue Jays. He was a journeyman. We'll get to that now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
We'll get to your calls in just a moment. David Segui, former major league player, played in the majors from 1990 until 2004. 15-year career for him. Admitted PED user of both anabolic steroids and other PEDs. But he did not smoke weed, smoke crack, or shoot up heroin. That he wants you to know, Hardy. What else stood out to you among his comments?
I will pull him up right now because I want to quote him warmly and accurately. But again, if you kind of missed it, he's saying that essentially performance-enhancing drugs are stigmatized to a degree that other drugs aren't. And that doesn't make any sense because the only reason why guys take them is so that they can be better at their job, be better at their game. You know, they're not doing it for any nefarious purposes other than they just want to be the best baseball player they can be. They just want to, you know, they want to, you know, maybe selfishly, you know, hit some milestones or, you know, get paid more. But it doesn't have anything, any clandestine purposes other than I just want to play this game better.
I don't agree with that. Do you? There are plenty of people that take steroids that don't do it for a job.
No. In baseball.
Oh, but even still.
Well, why would a baseball player take PEDs if it weren't to better his game?
I get what you're saying, though. No, for baseball purposes, he's right, but that's not necessarily true overall.
People talk about morality. When has morality been part of professional sports?
He's right. It's not.
When has morality been part of baseball? Find me the era.
Yeah, never.
This doesn't take away from the game. Tell me one sport that's clean. Do I think we have a responsibility to be good humans and citizens? Absolutely. But when I die, and they say at the pearly gates that the worst thing I did was take medicine to be stronger and faster and be a better baseball player, I like my chances. That's kind of what I like about what he's saying. Like, in the overall scheme of right and wrong, is it that wrong for him to do that? Now, if you were one guy and everybody else was clean and you're the one guy who's going out there and you're really gaining an edge, okay, that you can make a case for wrong. But so many guys have done so many things over the years. How do you really say that? And that you draw that line between right and wrong. What you're doing is wrong because it's against the rules. Tons of stuff are done against the rules, and we celebrate some of it, and we celebrate it as gamesmanship in everything but golf. But for baseball, football, basketball, you're trying to sell calls. You're trying to get away with stuff. You know, you never draw attention to yourself when you know you've committed a foul or a penalty or anything else. This is all just various forms of cheating on the cheating spectrum. And in terms of the morality spectrum, it's on there somewhere as something less than you're a perfect person. So how bad is it? I think is what he was saying. And that's what I kind of liked.
617-779-0985, the phone number. Let's go to Will, who's in Shrewsbury today. Will, you there?
So,
go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. So my buddy runs a Instagram account, The Baseball Swag, and he put up a side-by-side of the 99 AL All-Star roster and last week or this week's AL All-Star roster. And you talk about personalities, you know, you get Lofton, Garcia Parra, Griffey. And obviously, you know, I played college baseball. I love baseball now, watch it all the time. You know, the whole time thing doesn't bother me. I know it bothers a lot of other guys. But, you know, you look at it, obviously you got Trout and Springer, and those are big names, good guys. But, you know, that lineup in 99, you've got personality. You got people that, you know, it makes you want to watch the game. You know, so when you're comparing the two, I think that you look at that side-by-side starting lineup, there's your answer right there.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, part of it. Certainly part of the equation. It's not everything, but it's part of it. Alex in the car, what do you got?
Hey, guys, happy Friday.
Hey.
So comparing it to, like, you know, just like a regular 9-to-5 job, like, I don't know, some people will, or even when you're in college and stuff, like, people will take Adderall to kind of, you know, stay up longer, get better, you know, do better work, get better grades, like, kind of the same thing, you know, just like, they're trying to do better at their job playing baseball, we're trying to do our job better, you know, by taking something that will keep us awake and more focused. Thanks, guys.
All right. And I'm glad you brought up Adderall, because even golf isn't clean. I think that's the new preferred method of aiding your concentration on the golf course. What is it? The CBD oil? That's one beetle. Is that? Yeah. Do I have the right letters there?
Yeah.
CBD.
That's what they're taking.
Mickelson loves it. You see him chugging those little vials.
Yeah. Why does he think that's helping him on the course?
I don't know. He's getting to be an old.
What does he think it's helping him with, though? I'm sorry. I understand
helps with
why.
Clarity.
Clarity.
Really?
It does.
Listen to Jim. How many vials did you swallow this morning? You're very focused.
No, I don't use it, but I know people that use it. It's clarity.
But Adderall.
I'm telling you, I've used it. I just haven't experienced any of the clarity with it.
I mean, there's all different sides. You can have the kind that has the THC in it, which gives you a little bit more of a little boost, and it's got the psychotropic in it, and you got the regular CBD.
I mean, you could, you could just smoke
weed. So there's all different kinds.
You get clarity smoking weed, Hardy? Is there a certain sense of clarity there?
I understand things I didn't understand before.
I mean, I don't know that you want to do that when you're golfing.
Adderall, though, I from reports that I've heard, and there's only been a couple things written on this, but other guys I've talked to said, in golf right now,
Kyle Turley gave us all kinds of good CBD oil at the Super Bowl.
Golfers are chomping Adderall like
put a drop of this under your tongue. We went for six.
It didn't do anything. Golfers are chomping Adderall like they're Pez because it's focus. You got to remember everything. You got to remember everything about your swing, about your setup, about the course. It's focus over the course of 5 hours. You know, everybody got out there can swing the club. It's like, do you remember how to do it? Do you remember what you're supposed to do?
So Adderall is allowed under the rules.
Oh, I think in the NFL, Adderall's a big deal. You have to make a case for some kind of...
Can't take it in the NFL.
You have to...
Test for in golf?
Yeah, is there any testing in golf?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there is.
Well, yeah, Dustin Johnson got popped, right?
Oh, that's right.
We don't know what he got popped for.
But the rumor is...
The cocaine! That it was,
the Yayo.
But yeah, and Vijay Singh got busted for deer antler spray. But
so did James Hedebo.
In the NFL, we talked about this.
Right.
Guys have to go to their doctor to get
velvety
to get diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, so they can get on Adderall because it helps you maintain focus throughout the course of the 3 or 4 hours that you're playing. It's all when you all have that, when everyone has the physical skills, it becomes more about concentration than anything else, and that's what those guys are going for now.
Mike is in Seekonk. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
So, first off, I want to say that I agree that bringing steroids back is the right thing to do, but I also agree that it's not the answer to save baseball. And the reason being is that I think the intrigue back in the original steroid era was that we'd never seen anything like that. Like, think about how intriguing it was to watch Sosa and McGuire go back and forth, but then when Bonds was hitting 73, was it as exciting? Not really. So if somebody went and hit 70 home runs today, like, who cares? But back then, 61 was a number in baseball. Like, no one was ever going to hit.
Yeah, you know what the other part was? Is that Bonds was detestable. We hated him. Or most people did. And so there was no joy in watching him do that because nobody liked him.
True.
Whereas McGuire and Sosa, nobody really had anything against either of them. You might have liked one more than the other. You may have been rooting for one or the other, but you didn't hate the other guy.
Of course.
Yeah.
And with Bonds, it was almost like he was doing it to prove a point, to say, like, I just want to be better than everyone else. And that was, to your point, detestable. And then just one quick point on the All-Star game in 99. I think the other part of that is that it wasn't just, like, personalities, but it was every team in the league had guys that were legit stars at the same position. Like, you remember the conversations around who was going to start at shortstop, Nomar, Jeter, or A-Rod? Like, how were they going to figure out how to fit all these stars into the All-Star game and make everyone visible? Everywhere you looked, on every team, there was somebody that you wanted to see play. And now it's like there's a handful of guys that are, you know, worth watching, and it's just not the same. You don't have the same level of talent that you had back then.
Yeah, I think that's probably debatable, though. I think there's plenty of talent.
You don't have the level of standout talent, standalone talent, guys who are just succeeding head and shoulders above everybody else. The playing field is more level. There's a lot of guys performing at a high level.
You may even have more talent now than you have then, which is crazy because it doesn't feel that way. And you don't recognize as much of it.
Part of the problem, too, is this is maybe a smaller part, but MLB being so, like, tight on their social media stuff and not letting people post little videos of players and good plays and all this stuff unless it's under the MLB umbrella. That's hurt them a little bit with the younger crowd.
We didn't even have that in 19, you know, 95, 99.
No, but you watch SportsCenter every day.
True.
Right? You have to wait for SportsCenter. People aren't seeing them on social media, so they're just not going to see them.
True.
I think the NBA was the first to embrace it, and they've become dunk is on social media.
Yeah, I think it's less about the marketing and more about the product itself. If you had a better product, the marketing would find its way. More about the product. The marketing, you can't market something that people don't care about. If people cared more, the marketing would sort itself out. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on this. Also got a couple other things to get to. There was a trade in the NBA last night. There's another NFL player who's upset about the NBA salaries and wants NFL contracts to change, and it's coming from someone who's really been taken care of on his NFL contract, so that is interesting. We'll get to all that, and the NFL does not take their NFL officiating seriously at all because they've already scrapped their full-time officiating plan. We'll mix those in coming up, but more of your calls on Major League Baseball next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
To keep my hands on myself.
I can tell you that I'm getting distracted right now reading a story on The Ringer of the most annoying kids in television show history. AJ Soprano is a number one seed, according to this bracket. No surprise there. Meadow Soprano is an 8 seed, Hardy. An 8 seed. And you...
How many people? How many people in the bracket?
This is 32, I believe. 32 altogether in the bracket.
All right.
So she's like 29 to 32 then?
Yeah, she is one of the...
She's a bottom seed.
So she that by their initial assessment, she's not all that annoying.
Right.
I would disagree, especially in the first 4 seasons, but go ahead.
Because I said AJ Soprano, a 1 seed, he deserves that.
Oh, he's...
AJ Soprano deserves a 1 seed.
Yep.
And Artie immediately said, well, where's Meadow? And I'm like, where's Meadow? What do you mean Meadow gets... Why should Meadow be in the bracket?
Oh, she should be in the bracket. Meadow deserves to be in the bracket.
Who knew? Hardy hates Meadow.
I think Meadow hates Meadow. I think Meadow came around in later years, but she was real sassy pants early on in that series.
The one seeds are Carl Grimes. What show was that?
Is that Frank Grimy Grimes kid from The Simpsons?
Josh says Walking Dead.
Okay.
Help.
I'm not a Walking Dead guy.
No. What about Fear the Walking Dead?
Paige Jennings?
I can't do this. I don't care.
Yeah, we can't do this. I don't know him.
I don't even know who
the Americans
people are.
Josh says. The Americans? Maybe Josh should do this segment with you.
Where is Josh? Pot him up. Can I hear from Josh?
Yeah.
Josh knows this. I'm reading this bracket. Like,
let's see the hostage
this
cam.
This is good. I gotta know these things.
Josh in Burlington.
I'm reading this bracket. I'm getting into this. And as I go through it, I'm like, I should know more of these.
Josh has to put his pants on first before he can turn the camera on in the control room. God knows what goes on back there. Right, it's so dark.
Josh is up now. I know this one. I know this last one is Dana Brody from Homeland. If you watched Homeland, but it's been a number of seasons since Dana Brody, which is Brody's kid, the daughter.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
her.
It's been so many seasons, but great, great number one seed there because she was the worst.
I don't remember anything about her.
I hated her. Everyone hated her.
What was her deal? Was she kind of like a goth kid?
She was a problem. Josh. I don't know if you ever watched Homeland, Josh, but she was a problem.
Oh, yeah, the first season, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, she was a real problem.
That first season of Homeland, they touched the sun.
She was a security risk is what she was.
That first season of Homeland was so good. Oh, my God, first, it was so good.
Yeah, it's. I still watch it. I still hang in there, man. I'm still in on Homeland.
I bailed up.
It's like 24. You can't not watch. Like, you have to see it through.
What about the Ray Donovan kids? Are they on there?
Oh, that's a good question. But here, I got to ask, is Carl Grimes deserving of a one seed, Josh?
Not for my, but I'm not a Walking Dead guy.
Oh, but you knew it.
Sorry.
Paige Jennings, deserving of a one seed?
Early season, maybe.
That's how he's getting help. He's doing phone a friend to find out how annoying somebody is.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Who else, Beetle? Give me somebody I know. Who else is in this bracket? Just start naming the names. This is the ringer bracket of the most annoying kids in television.
32 of them all together.
Okay. Well, give me some more.
As I said, Manny Delgado.
Oh, from Modern Family?
From Modern Family is a four seed.
Oh, I don't mind Manny.
No, but the other one from Modern Family is a high seed too, right?
Who is it?
Lily? She's a four seed.
Oh, Lily. Don't care for Lily. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Four seed. Lily Tucker Pritchett.
Yeah.
Four seed.
Precocious, some would call her. I call her annoying. Not a Lily fan.
Four seed. Yeah, just throwing some of those names at you. We'll pick our way through that. It's all handwritten, which is a problem. So it's sort of a messy bracket to look at. Look at it's a graphic that they did.
Did they fax it to you?
Look at it. It's a professionally done graphic, but they used a handwritten font.
Is it? Oh,
annoying.
That's awful.
It's hard to read.
Bad job.
Let's go to Colin in Charlestown. Colin.
Hey, guys. I think everyone is overthinking how to make baseball better. Let me ask you a question. What do the other three major sports have that baseball doesn't?
Speed.
Yeah, a clock. There needs to be some sort of time management. Baseball needs a pitch clock. There needs to be a clock behind home plate. You have 12 seconds to throw the ball. And if you don't throw it in 12 seconds, it's a ball. Problem solved.
Yeah, I think, what'd you say, 12 seconds? That seems a little quick. Let's start with 25 or 30 and go from there instead of 60. Let's move it along. Let's put the clock in, pitch clock, right now, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's do that. Let's move it along. And even that doesn't time the game. That just times the time between pitches.
Right.
That doesn't make it a timed game. That doesn't limit the amount of time you can play for the night. Just moves it along a little bit better.
There's 10
which is
small...
so obnoxious. Every other sport has a timed amount that you can play, unless you have overtime, of course.
No, not every sport.
Well, the hockey, football,
of the majors.
Basketball.
Right, of the majors.
Yeah.
But other games that, you play until the game is over, it's just that baseball, they're... it was Selig before who said that he didn't think there was a time of game problem. He thought there was a pace of game issue. But I think you can't address one without addressing the other. And that whether it's the time, whether it's the pace, fine. Give it a name. It just moves too slow. Put the pitch clock in. What are we down to for relief pitchers coming in, Beetle? Have they addressed that issue? I can't even remember.
Yeah, they have. They've moved them along.
Right.
It's like 2 minutes, but they're in. They get them in.
30 seconds.
The in-between innings, the relief pitcher changes, those have moved along.
Right.
It's not enough.
Relief pitchers? 3 pitches. That's it. You're already warmed up. You're out on the mound. You got a new... Okay. Get out on the mound. Throw to the new catcher. 3 pitches. Let's go. Let's keep this moving.
You want a slower pace of play, put a clock in. Because the teams are going to stall. And teams are going to stall, and they're going to play the clock instead of playing the innings.
As opposed to what they do now?
Teams are stalling, but they have nothing. They're not stalling for a purpose of clock stalling. They're going to stall and literally do nothing. If that clock has got 15 minutes left on it, they're waiting. They're not doing anything. Throw to first. Throw to first. Throw to first.
No, I don't think a clock works, but pitch clocks. I'm with you, Beetle.
Yeah.
Let's start with that.
Put a pitch clock in.
Yeah. It's your first clock.
Yeah, pitch clock needs to go in. Let's talk about the latest in the NFL players' quest to get NBA-type money. Todd Gurley, of all the guys to complain, Todd Gurley has something to say about NFL contracts. We'll get to his comments as we talk a little football here on this Friday, coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You tweeted this before you got your contract about the difference between NBA and NFL money. I understand there's more players and there's more games. I get all of that. But it's crazy to me, some of the comparisons, that DeAndre Hopkins is three, is his contract is, Andrew Wiggins is three DeAndre Hopkins, and that Bro. Odell is getting paid the same as Ian Mahinmi. It just blows me away, man.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right? I led lead in touchdowns the last 2 years, and I just seen somebody get $80 million, and I couldn't even pronounce their name.
Dude, Antonio Brown, Tobias Harris got five times the amount of guaranteed money as Antonio Brown.
Is everybody stupid? Is that what it is? Who's the guy doing the interviewing for Bleacher Report?
Adam Lefko.
Okay, well, he's a moron. I expect this from a player who just looks at the money and goes, oh, I play sports, he plays sports, pay me what he makes. It's simple economics. There's far fewer players in the NBA. So when they get their cut of the pie, of the money pie, they got to divvy it up among fewer players, so they get a lot more money. How easy is this to understand? It's so ridiculous. It's starting to get really annoying. And then you've got Todd Gurley, who's the guy who's now complaining, when he's one of the players who actually got a decent contract by NFL player standards. Really? Oh, can you believe it, Todd? You believe it? You got five times the money. Well, yeah, he did, because in that league, there's guys that have, there are far fewer players, and the structure is different. Yes, the guaranteed money is different in that league. Do you know why it's different in the NBA or in Major League Baseball? Because the risk of catastrophic injury or career-ending injuries is different. It just is. And you know why? Because Todd Gurley, your players' union, sucks, and you guys haven't fought for it the way other leagues have. So next time around, fight a little harder. And that's part of it too. But oh my God, this is going to become a thing, isn't it? And I can already feel it just this week alone. This is now a thing. NFL players whining that they don't get what NBA players get. I want a contract like that. Well, then go play in the NBA. You want a contract like that? Go play basketball.
Right.
Don't play in the NFL. You picked the wrong sport.
Been like this for a long time.
Yeah, it's not going to change. Not changing anytime soon. Todd Gurley, last year, got a four-year, $60 million extension. He got $45 million guaranteed. That is the largest guarantee on a per-year salary for anybody who has played running back in the NFL. I would say, out of all the guys playing running back in the NFL, he's doing okay. I would say, of the players in the league, he's got the least to complain about when it comes to this. And he's now complaining about this. You picked the wrong sport. If you're unhappy, go play basketball. You should have spent time training to become a basketball player instead of a football player, I guess. Or, you know, I mean, what do you want? What do you want? Oh, it's so ridiculous.
Or stand up and say something next time you guys are all gathered together with your union and say, this won't fly anymore. We're not going to do this.
53 guys on a football team, 15 on a basketball team. It's not that hard to figure out. You each get your cut of the money. Your negotiated cut, somewhere around the 50% mark, depending on your league, depending on what you've negotiated. So when you take your share of the pie, you divvy it up among the players. Again, depending on caps, salary floors, different in each league. And when they divvy that up, if there are far fewer players to pay, then those players are going to get more money individually. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Does that sort of make sense?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
They also play a lot less games.
Yep. They do. Not that their toll on their body is less, though. Right? I mean, wouldn't you say the physical abuse that an NFL player takes, though, is still far more than what an NBA player does?
Well, yeah. Todd Gurley's knee is basically nothing. With the opposite, we call the Eduardo Nunez jelly knee. What's the opposite where there's nothing in there?
I don't know. What is it? What is the opposite?
I don't know.
The opposite of jelly? Nothing knee.
Nothing. He's got no fluid in there. It's bone on bone.
I don't know. I'm just looking last year. Like, if you wanted to know, what was the top? I'm looking at the NBA for, and this is good too to look at this to get people all fired up. Salaries for 2018-19. Do you know the Miami Heat had the highest? Is this right? The Miami Heat had the highest payroll in the league.
What site are you on?
NBA Basketball Reference. $151.7 million. Let's just take this as the example. They've got the Miami Heat as having the highest payroll for 2018-19 at 151, and the Golden State Warriors at 2 at 148. And the Colts had the highest, I guess, payroll. Again, these numbers in the NFL are a little wonky because of cash out and cap numbers. And the highest numbers in the NFL are all hovering up in the 190s around 200. So you could have them say, well, wait a minute, we're actually paying more per roster in the NFL than we are even in the NBA. We're actually doling out more per roster in our league than in that league. And there's still less per player in our league. It's just, what do you want? You know, there's a ton more guys to pay in this league. We pay a lot more players. It's a completely different sport. These are not the same things. These are not the same jobs. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous argument. Wouldn't you say, Hardy? Wouldn't you say it's ridiculous?
Yes. It doesn't make sense.
God. I don't know. It really gets under my skin for some reason. They'll hear this. It's sort of annoying. Like, oh, I play sports, so I should make whatever anybody else makes in sports.
It's not the same thing.
Not the same thing. At all. Adam and Lowell, what do you got?
Hey, guys, remember Le'Veon Bell holding out last year? There were a fair amount of Steelers teammates of his saying, like, hey, we understand the holdout, but at a certain point, come back. I hope none of those guys are the ones complaining right now, because that's another reason why they'll never get more money, because they don't stick up for each other, and they go, oh, well, maybe just come and figure it out later. That's why they're being laughed at. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Mike is in Hopkinton. Mike.
All right, two things. I came up with another one while I was waiting. Todd Gurley, first of all. I hope he got a lot of guaranteed money because of what's going on in his knee. He is never going to get another good contract. He was an absolute no-show in the Super Bowl and in the NFC Championship game. He came out, I mean, how many plays did he play? I'm going to say very few. Additionally, most of these athletes, when you're talking about this mindset that they're in, you have to remember the majority of these athletes are under 30, which means they're millennials, which means when you say that to them, well, I should get paid the same as everybody else. That's that mindset. And I know you just pissed off all your listeners that are under 30, but it's true.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with it, but sure, whatever.
Millennial mindset.
Sure, millennial mindset. But why pick out basketball? Why not go after baseball? Giancarlo Stanton has a $325 million contract. Why not just shoot for the moon? Oh, I'm Todd Gurley. I'm a great running back. Giancarlo Stanton makes $300 million. Why don't I make $300 million? Why don't you just cherry pick anybody who makes a ton of money? Right? Just pick out any old number. This guy makes a lot of money. How come I don't make the same money? Oh, but it's easy. It's easy to figure out why you don't make that same money.
They handed him a check for $21 million last year.
Yeah, no, and he's complaining. He's upset. They gave him $45 million guaranteed.
A running back.
They gave him
with a bad knee.
$45 million in guaranteed money with a bad knee. They didn't know it, but now they do. And he's mad.
Well, they kind of knew it. He had a bad knee in college. He was beat up when he came out. That was the knock on him.
They know it more now than they did then, I think. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'd agree with that, too.
They cut him. I just looked up. They cut him. They have $35 million in dead money if they cut him right now.
His knee is probably worse now, or they think it's worse now than what they thought it was when they gave him the contract. Or they know it's worse now than when they gave him the deal. But stop. This argument, though, is so ridiculous. I hope they stop making it or hear how ridiculous it sounds. And the guy doing the interview, egging him on, maybe it was just to get the answer out. I hope he doesn't believe it.
Sounds like Zoe. That's something Zoe. Zoe, right? Zoe's in that camp. He's in that camp.
Oh, you believe these contracts? You believe that? You should get that money too, right? Just to get the answer out of him? Maybe. All right. That's all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.